We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Crypto Gaming Institute podcast. Today, we have gentlemen from X World Games. We have the co-founder and we have the head of community. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Hi, guys. It's Edwin Liu. I'm one of the co-founder from the X World Games. And right now, also, I work as the head of business development. So what I do mostly is to collaborate with all the awesome projects out there in the ecosystem, and also to have some of the wallet exchange partners. And that's pretty much the things I do for right now. Yeah. So Jay, maybe you can also do a short introduction of yourself.
Hi, guys. So I'm Jay. I'm the head of community with X World Games. Sorry, I came down with a bad case of flu, so it might be COVID, but I'm not sure yet. My role pretty much is to connect, the community with the company, make sure I work as a bridge, between the community and the staff, and make sure, the community's voice is heard, what they want and what they expect, out of us, to make sure, because, as you know, for any project, community is essential. So that's my role.
Amazing. Amazing. So just for historical accuracy, as of right now, X World Games is ranked 325 on CoinMarketCap. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. one of the top projects on the entire planet. Yeah. As of recently, you guys have crossed over 150 million in market cap. That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. That's a lot of hard working.
Yeah, I bet. So, I really want to just kind of take a step back and understand, what's the story behind this? How did you guys get to this point? What's really the origin story of XWG and how did you take it to this point?
Okay, sure. Yeah, probably I will just share some of my personal background and all the way connect to the project XWG. And then maybe after I finish, Jay can also share a little bit about his experience. And he just joined the team last year with us. Yeah. So for me, myself, my personal background was coming from the real estate portfolio management. So we do lots of the real estate project, the condo development and lots buy and sell and management sort of things. So to me, I'm more of a financial person myself. I'm not really a technical person in the broad term world, right? And I just want to talk about maybe my first Bitcoin encounter. It's actually referred by one of my friends, right? So at that time, I remember it was during 2013 or something. And just one time I went to stop by my friend's place and he just asked me to say, "Hey, you want to see something?" I said, "What?" And he just told me, "Okay, I will show you a kind of thing of some machines that can make you money, right?" And he just led me to his garage and I just saw some of the machine, like desktop machine with the bare bone case, original case, right? And just a couple machines just operating out there. And he told me those machines makes him around, I think, less than $100. Yeah, not that much, but per month. Yeah, so around $100 per month, not too much. And I asked him, so what it is, right? He said, "Bitcoin." I said, "What's Bitcoin?" Right? And he said, "It's just kind of internet money. It can make you money." And I just think, because during my high school time, I don't know if you all experienced the thing, something called a pay ad. It's just the ad screen on your desktop, and for a while you need to just keep click on it, and after a month it will send you maybe a couple hundred dollars of the check into your house, right? So that's how people used to make the money in the internet, in the early stage. So I just think, oh, maybe it's like sort of that kind of things. But he told me, no, there's no company to send you the check. So what you do, you do the mining and you earn the Bitcoin and you just sell it. Then eventually I just go back home and just do some research of it. And okay, so I kind to understand the concept of the decentralization, what they're trying to do. So I purchased my first Bitcoin around like $400. I forgot, like $300-$400 through the Coinbase. So that's my first Bitcoin experience during the 2013. And after that, the price just go up to 1,000. So it was really bullish at that time during 2013. But eventually it just came down. After like that 2014, went down, I think, to the $200 something. So to me, at that time, I didn't really put myself into the cryptocurrency, the whole community, the whole ecosystem. But what I'm doing is just an investment to me, right? Because I'm still having my job in real estate. So during that time, I just didn't pay too much attention to it. And around like 2015, 2016, I start. I sort of get involved with other project startups. And at that time, the co-sharing, this concept is very popular. So me and my other friend, we just went on and started some other projects. And so the crypto coming back to my attention is only till like 2017. The whole bull market in 2017 is just like last year, I would say, right? And after that bull market in 2017, then I'm pretty confirmed, I'm pretty convinced that the Bitcoin, the crypto, they're gonna stay, right? It's right. Not gonna like one day drop to back to zero and just going away. So in 2018, so that's pretty much the critical year for me. I just pretty much went all into the crypto world in 2018. So I start to get involved with so many projects. So I help out the Cardano and with layer like an Asian community to build up and the management, and also layer like North American community. And I work with layer community manager and all the foundation staff people very closely. And also me personally, I also have a last friend in Asia. So they are also doing some all different kind of a crypto project, right? And the XWG, the Fernando is actually, that's how I met him. No, that's how I get involved with the project at that time. Because at that time, I was not really just focused on the XWG, but the latest couple project I'm also participated with. So in 2018, so Fernando, maybe I can also give you guys a little bit of background himself. Fernando, he's an entrepreneur and he's coming from the Wall Street background. So he did a series of investment in many different fields. There's a clean tech and the solar, the mobile gaming, and also he also invests in some of the blockchain companies himself, right? So he does own some shares of each area of the company. And then what he thought is he could try to integrate with all the resource, and he can try to put up everything together into a project, a startup. So the original idea was to do mobile gaming and just convert it to a crypto gaming. I think that was the very popular way for crypto gaming people to do it. You just take an existing game and try to tokenize the asset of it. I think that's the original idea, right? But since 2018, everyone is trying to build the ecosystem. So later on, we try to expand also the idea. We don't just want to build a gaming itself, but we want to build the ecosystem. So we're gonna be like a platform, it's sort of like Steam. So we can integrate with many other gaming projects as well. And we can help help the traditional mobile gaming company and to bring them into the crypto space. So that's pretty much the founding idea during that time. Yeah, but as you know, because 2018, 2019, that time, it was horrible. Yeah, I mean,
right.
The industry was like, yes, triple winter. So it's pretty much like we cannot raise any fund. We met so many investors, VC in Asia, and especially due to the crypto kitties in 2017, because they pretty much like jammed the Ethereum, right? So many of the VC just don't think that the gaming in crypto works. They don't think that idea works. So they won't give any money to it. And also at that time, more popular ideas to build a public chain, yeah, just like Cardano, Solana, those sort of things, right? So those kind of projects, they might get funded. So many projects, when they don't get funding, they die, right? Some of the projects, even they get funding, they still died. Right. So that's how horrible it was like back that time. So I mean, the whole project XRPG kind of went to its survival mode. We just we still keep the project going, but what we do is try to spend the minimum amount of the funding of it. So Fernando himself, he took out his some money from his pocket and just trying to, you know, to support the team himself. And yeah, so that's the timing. And but I mean, during that time, we do meet a lot of great people. And we build a lot of relationship with other projects, other founders. And to me, my personally, what I feel is, I think that's the spirit of the crypto industry, you know, because people come to this space, they don't just like compete with each other. Instead, they collaborate with each other. And also during that very hard time, I see lots of great people lately. Support, they give all kind of support, right? They give you some of the on the technical side, on the community side, and we just collaborate and try to do the marketing, do everything, and just to keep going with the project. So the really like a transition period was during the 2020. That's the time we pretty much we successful raised our seed round. So after we got the funding, we are able to expand the team and to pretty much to form the initial stage of the crypto project. And so in 2021, everything is pretty much set up. We got another strategic round and we launched our token and launched our first game of Dreamcard, the 1.0, the V1. And also we got our website, the marketplace, NFT marketplace, staking pool, everything set up. And since the game launch, I think we won the, last year we are the top 10 winners in the BSC MVP2. Yeah, I mean, that reward, that award actually bring us to another stage. Yeah, so we become maybe like, right now it's like top 5 project, gaming project on the BSC. Chair. So right now we are also we are deploying our Dreamcard V2, the 2.0. It should be out by this month, and I mean this year I think we'll do more on our infrastructure. So X Wallet is our own crypto wallet, and also there's X Creator, and we are also in planning to develop our own side chain. So probably it will be coming out maybe by next year or something. Yeah. So that's pretty much the history and my personal background of the XRPG. Yeah.
That's amazing. What I love about that is when you guys started and you really got involved personally, I mean, that was almost one of the worst times to be in crypto was during the winter. The crypto winter.
Yeah.
What's fascinating to see though is how the projects that are really great and the projects that are really substantial and have true value in them, a lot of them are built in that time. Because if you can survive in a bear market like that, then once you hit a bull market, you're ready to go. and and you're ready to explode from that. So that's really, really interesting.
Because that time I remember I was having chat with our founders like Ada, Fernando, then like sometimes we really want to give up, right? And but Fernando and Ada, they just told me, no, sometimes for a project to succeed, right? It's not about, sometimes it's really not about the performance, like the talent people you got or everything. The number one thing is the timing. As long as you can survive over this timing, there is a chance that you can be succeed. So we just, okay, we just keep going and we just don't give up. And we just like, you know, just support the project at our best. And since 2020, everything just to go. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So when you were building initially, you're building your infrastructure here.
Yeah.
What was the thought process of, okay, we want to build not just a game, but we want to build an ecosystem. To me, that's a brilliant move because you're not betting the farm on one product, but you're allowing yourself to be an ecosystem so you can kind of spread your bets within, you know, your ecosystem. And you're able to really take, you know, get up to the plate, to use a baseball analogy, and just take as many swings as you can. So what from your perspective, what was the decision-making process for that? How did you come to the conclusion of, okay, we want to build an ecosystem versus a single game?
Because at that time, I think what we're really trying to do is not to make a like just one game, one successful game, right? And yeah, of course, we can make a series of games, you know, like Dream Car, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like GTA, right? We can always make a sequel. But I think the fundamental idea is what we're trying to do is we want to bring more people, not only the players, right, but also those game publishers, you know, the developer, all of those people. Because, you know, at that time, not too many, well, yeah, during like 2018, right, people are still skeptical about the crypto. So even some of the gaming companies, like, they do like, show their interest to come to the space, but they are still hesitant. So what we're trying to do is probably we want to build a place, a platform that's very easy to for them to integrate with the system, right? So probably they don't need to issue their own tokens or this stuff, right? Because sometimes they are concerned with the maybe legal issue and sort of things. And we just want to make a convenient place for them so they can just create a crypto version of their games and just hook up with our ecosystem. And they can also enjoy, first thing I would say, maybe, you know, the traffic that the users from the crypto space. Yeah, they can grab their new user base market share. That's one thing. The other thing, they can gain their extra like revenues. So instead, they only have the fiat revenue on their own gaming. They can also like make some profits on their on the crypto side, right? So that's the second thing. So that's I think that's more like a business logical for us to do a platform instead of just to focus on one game or its sequel itself. Yeah,
I love that. I love that. Now, from a community standpoint. And Jay, I want to get your way in here as well. You know, being the head of community, when you were in that space of 2018, going through the bear market, trying to build in that time, how do you keep community alive? How do you keep community happy? How do you grow community in that point?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'll give you a little bit of background, you know, on my end, and maybe that'll provide some clarity on that front. So I also started in the financial sector, but as an engineer, so as a software developer, basically. But my passion has always been gaming and also anime and manga, right? So I've always been a gamer. you name any game out there, I probably played it, right? You know, so when I discovered, you know, crypto, Bitcoin, you know, back in 2013, I was just experimenting, you know, and I still have a wallet with a ton of Bitcoin, you know, locked somewhere back then, you know, but I lost it, but, you know, whatever. So I thought crypto was really revolutionary, you know, and then, you know, I was still working, you know, for a company at the time. Fast forward, you know, back in 2018, I discovered, you know, Axie Infinity. I'm sure many of you have heard of Axie. So to me, the concept simply blew my mind, right, you know, because you love to play games, but you can also make money, right, you know, and I mean, if you know gamers, right, you know, we spend a ton of hours, you know, playing a game, right, leveling up our characters, you know, we put our passion and our time into it, right? You know? So to me, play to earn, you know, made sense, right? Because, okay, you already play the game, you spend a lot of time, you know, with the community, making friends, right? You know, but you can also get something in return, you know, as well. So to me, it made sense, you know, to get into play to earn, you know, and because to me, it made sense, regardless of the challenge, you know, that came along the way, it was going to succeed, right, you know, because it felt, you know, really fluid, right, you know, thermodynamics, right, you know, it's just going to happen because you already have people who play games, you know, that's not going to change, right, you know, but now you tell them, okay, you can play, but also make money. Of course, they're going to be a little bit skeptical, right, you know, because it sounds a little bit too good to be true, right, you know, but above all else, you know, it's about keeping the community, you know, together because, you know, community makes, you know, games succeed, right, you know, and I know from a certain perspective, it's also an investment, you know, because money is definitely involved, right, you know, but it's a passion for gaming, you know, mixed with the financial aspect, right, you know, so basically we bring it together, you know, the best of both worlds, right, you know, so regardless of the challenges that came along the way, you know, it made sense that this is the future, right? You know, this is where we're headed, you know, so we're going to get there, you know, however came across the way. So, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
So it was more of like, basically, I kind of want to get really dive into the community aspect of this too. So it seems like it was more of just kind of inevitable. Just over time, once people understood like what play to earn really is and what the potential of not only can I game and still have a lot of fun, but I can also start earning, then community just comes because it's such a great idea. Or was there something that XWG did differently to really inspire the community to stay or to build the community in a different way?
Yep. I'll say definitely a little bit of both, right? You know, I mean, you use, you know, the tenors, it's inevitable, right? You know, but you know, as you know, yeah, it was going to happen, you know, because of the trajectory we're on, you know, but also with XWG, we had a team of developers or gamers, you know, behind the scene, you know, with over 20 years of experience, you know, building a game, you know, and we understood a lot of that comes with having some of the right partnerships, right, you know, because we can be idealistic, you know, about what we wanted to accomplish, but we also have to understand the reality of things, right, you know, because the reality is, you know, we needed money, right, you know, to make things, you know, happen. So I would say it's definitely a little bit of both, you know, having the right team in place, you know, Edwin, Fernando, and Ada, you know, behind the scene, you know, and also recognizing that we're going to get there, right, you know, because it's the future, you know, but we just had to weather the storm with the right people, so basically. So Edwin, you know, maybe you want to add, you know, on that point.
Yeah, I just want to maybe elaborate more about given the depth of the community, especially in the play to earn. Yeah, because I found right now I kind of defy a coding like their purpose coming to the P2E, the play to earn, like a gaming project, anything. I kind of like divide them into like three categories, right? So one is I would say is gamers. So people just love the games, like Jay is like a hardcore gamers, I would say. And so they just enjoy the gaming, they enjoy the entertaining stuff in the game, and they found the crypto games another type of the game. But maybe right now the entertaining element is not that enough if you compare them with the those like AAA titles, right? So, but they come here to just have some time to enjoy the stuff. So that's the gamers, right? The other people, I would say maybe the investor. You know, you come here, you basically you are not here for the game. You are here for making your money. Doesn't matter if you are like a holding the crypto, you know, or you all just come here every day to do the P2E like mining stuff. And you come here, your purpose is to make the money. And I always count them as the investor, right? And the third one, especially in SWG, I would say in the future, we will have more like a creating function, the toolbox we will provide to the players, the users. So there is the creator community. So it's kind of like they can create the NFT, so they can make money, and they can provide the collection value to the ecosystem. Yeah, so I would say there's three type of the people like get involved with the GameFi project right now. So sometimes the gamer and the investor, sometimes they are not standing side by side. They are standing like right against each other. So yeah, just for us as a project team, I would say sometimes it's pretty tough to do the balance between like for the mechanism, like how much reward we should drop every day, how much maybe airdrop we should do. Because if you, some people want to come to play you again, you want to let them to play the game for free, right? So they can enjoy it. And if they like it, they probably will spend some money with it, right? It doesn't make sense if you just set a very high capital requirement. Say you have to maybe spend like $500 in the beginning in order to pay you again, to have a trial test with you again, right? So it doesn't make sense. But instead, for the investor point of view, when they purchase the earliest NFT to start with again, they expect this NFT will go appreciate, right? The value will go up. So if you instead, if you make those NFT for free, these investors is gonna pissed. So so for the community, I think right now we are still learning, to be honestly, right? We are still like trying to improve the mechanism, and we try to listen the feedback from the community. So Jay always like provides very like many awesome feedbacks from the community, and so in terms of the dev team, they can go ahead and try to do a maybe minor adjustment each time. So I mean, we still like we made lots of mistakes, but like things is still going forward. It's trying to improve itself. Yeah. So I think that's just something I want to add for the on the community side and for whole mechanisms. Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about where XWG is going. I know you talked mm-hmm. about like the ecosystem, but yep. I really want to kind of paint a picture mm-hmm. for people of your vision and, you know, why you're so excited about it. I also feel like at this very moment, the market kind of took a beating. And so a little bit of hopium every now and again, you know, it sure. feels good. So let's paint the picture of what sure, the vision is.
So the vision of the XWG as a platform, right? So what we want to do is probably, I would say we have some infrastructures to build. So, okay, the first one is going to be a blockchain gaming platform. So as I mentioned before, it's going to be like Steam. So when the user come to our platform, they can log in or sort of a different gaming. And doesn't matter it's coming from the crypto space or it's from the traditional gaming space. So it become a gaming hub for everyone. And also that platform is good for the traditional gaming like developers. So it's very easy for them to integrate with us, right? So that's one thing, the platform. The other thing probably you can see is we do have, we develop our own NFT exchange. And we also develop our own staking pool. So in the future, right now, if you log in and see, probably it's only support our own stuff, right? But in the future, we will be support all our other gaming partners' tokens. So yeah, people can list Axie like Sandbox on NFT on our exchange, and also they can probably use the said tokens like to do the staking with us. That's something. So the next things I would say the creation, because what we're trying to be is maybe eventually we want to be someone like Roblox. So the gaming, the gamers, they don't just come here to play, right? But we need to provide them some utility, the tools, so they can create the stuff themselves. So in the beginning, what we do is we will have a tool for people to customize the NFT. So right now, for the dream car, right, there's the character, and for users, they can probably purchase other items like the maybe hat, different clothes. So they can put up different design into the character. Then they can remint another brand new NFT. So that makes the all the NFTs more unique, right? It's user create, it's USG, user generation content, UGC, sorry, yeah. And other than that, I think the most important thing we want to do is what we call the cross-game experience. So cross-game experience is what we trying to picture is, let's say if you, you're playing the World of Warcraft, right? So you spend your all the time, energy, your money to train a warrior character like up to the level 60, like max level. But one day if the like World of Warcraft, the server just shut down, right? All your energy, all your spending will just gone in seconds, right? And we don't want to see that. So what we're trying to do is when you train up your character and in World of Warcraft, and it will be like an NFT. And the NFT, since you own your own NFT, you can bring this NFT to the next game, right? So probably you can bring the warrior character to the Diablo. So you can enjoy the game benefit. Like you have the full level in World of Warcraft. So probably you can also have the full level in the Diablo. So that way you don't need, you save so much time and energy to try to level grinding your character again. And as long as the next game is say, okay, we are going to adopt, like interconnect with this gaming ecosystem, then the NFT will be floating around like within all the supported games. So that's the cross-game experience we're trying to build. Yeah, so that's pretty much the vision we want to do. And I hope I answered your question. And
Well, that's amazing, because I really think that is like the beauty of the metaverse. And that's kind of the promise that we all have in our minds and in our hearts of what we want is to be able to play a game. And then if we want to not play that game anymore, we don't want to lose our progress. We don't want to lose all the time we've and blood, sweat, and tears we've invested in there in addition to money. And we want to be able to either bring that to the next game or take it out and go do something else, you know.
And imaginary, like the let's say, because Lair was so many popular games like back 10, 20 years before, right? And people do have the memory of it, right? Because probably it's the game you played during your high school time. And if you can own that NFT and that NFT can be trading still like in the market, guess what? After 30, 40 years, probably there will still be someone like maybe paying like $100,000 just for your character NFT stuff, right? Because it's their childhood memories. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. So, hey, we actually have a question coming in, and you know, I want to show my appreciation for those who are tuned in live with us. So the question is really about, you know, this is going to be an ecosystem with a lot of games. They kind of want to know what the approach is. So maybe I kind of want to maybe filter in this question just a little bit from the perspective of just kind of making it a little bit more actionable of a for you to be able to answer. Maybe you can answer from the perspective of how are you going to both build your own games and build an ecosystem and connect everybody who wants to be a part of this ecosystem. How's that actually going to work from a logistics standpoint? Titus, if that's not what you're asking, maybe you could try reforming the question. I want to make sure we get that answered for you, but I also want to make sure we can progress with with the interview and don't cover things twice.
Yeah. In terms of the perspective, like how we going to do it, I think the first thing is, as I mentioned before, right? Fernando himself, he did invest a lot of Asian, like gaming studio and companies, sort of thing. So in Asia, we do have the connection, like pretty good connection with sort of a small independent gaming studio. And so right now, pretty much like in the near term, our approach is still focused on our own game development. Our own default games only, right? But we are still like, we are doing the talking with them as well. And, but right now, as you know, like in Asia, like China, the regulation is very harsh or something. So, and and just to give a sort of the update of the project operation, right now I'm in Vancouver myself, and we are going to expand our team to the Vancouver as well. So we're gonna have a rich team here. And what we're trying to do, we will collaborate with some of the local Vancouver US studio. Of course, I think it's because there are so many independent studio, like maybe only up to 5 or 10 people's team. And sometimes they are looking to generate the side revenue as well, right? So I have been approached a few of them, and they are pretty happy to like to work with us and trying to figure out, see if there's any way they can be put up on our ecosystem, on our platform. So yeah, for the first, what we're trying to do probably is we will collaborate with this kind traditional gaming from the mobile or PC side, instead of just collaborate with maybe Sandbox, the people already have their own standing in the crypto space. Yeah.
Wow, that's huge. So from what I'm understanding, you already have relationships with a lot of smaller game studios, but then you're reaching out to them, mm-hmm. and the ones that maybe have some talent on their team, but they're too small to really be able to like build and to have enough revenue to be able to fund that. You're kind of giving them a way to plug in with you so you can help with some of the heavy lifting.
They already have their like a small, like the gaming themselves. But what they are lacking of is on the blockchain side. So how to turn the gaming into the, like, how to put it on chain, how to write a smart contract, right? So we can provide this kind of support, because right now we already have like 2-3 years experience to convert the mobile game to the crypto game. So we have a team can do that. So we can provide the support on that side. And in terms of the token and other stuffs, if they have legal uncertainty or something, we can also generate a solution for them. So that's pretty much the thing we have been observing right now. So they do have the game, they do have the talent, but they just don't have too much experience in the crypto. So our purpose is to bring these people into the crypto space. So that's pretty much what we have been doing.
Wow, that's a fantastic approach, and it actually does a lot for GameFi in and of itself, for crypto gaming, for the metaverse, because you're bringing talent in, and you're kind of plugging talent in through XWG, which is just a beautiful way to do it. So I know we have we talked about maybe doing a screen share and showing some new product. Jay, while you get that up and running here, maybe we could just talk about in the meantime, your vision of the crypto gaming space as a whole from the perspective of, you know, scoping out where are we right now on the timeline, the chronology of crypto gaming, and what are we, what can we expect as far as like different milestones we're going to see as we continue to make it, as the whole market grows as a whole?
Yeah, just for the GameFi project right now, what I feel is during this stage, right, like last year, 2021, what we have been seeing is the gaming itself, a lot of game we see is probably is like the, you know, the web page games that we have been playing maybe during the 2000s. So it's not really attainable, and like in terms of the graphic, in terms of the sound effects, it doesn't really attract the real gamers, right?
Yeah.
So, and even if you're trying to do the Twitch live streaming, sometimes it doesn't really, yeah, excite the people up, right? So what I'm seeing the last year is probably the first year that for the GameFi, for the crypto gaming, that we will, like, I think it's pretty like an announcement, like telling the people that the crypto gaming is gonna succeed, right? So I would think it is the very first year. I would say it's kind of like the 2016 or 17, during that time when the crypto saying, okay, we're gonna do some, like replace some of the functionality in the financial side, you know? Because at that time, there's no such like DeFi or sort of thing. People won't even like think, okay, if I deposit my crypto into some platform and I can earn the, you know, earn the interest, or I can earn the, you know, the AMM, the trading fee sort of things. At that time, people just don't have the clue, right? But after the 2020, the device so successful. So right now, people have no doubt about it. So yeah, I think last year, what we see is gaming is going out to come to a space. And then later on this year, maybe for the next 3 to 5 years, what we're going to see is more entertaining, more AAA title stuff is coming to the space. So at that time, people can really have the fun in the game. It's not like just come to the gaming and have a job instead, right? So yeah, I think the things will progress slowly but surely. So yeah, as Jay is preparing for our dream car V2, and you can see the sound, the graphic is pretty much up to right now the mobile gaming standard. Yeah, so I think that's a huge improvement for us if you compare it to our like first dream car version. Yeah, so yeah, I would say more people will come to the space, more talent, more games. So we will be having a lot of competitors as well. But I think that's good for the space, good for the player as well. Yeah,
I agree. So Jay, I'm gonna get you another spot here. Just go ahead and share that screen when you're ready, and I can take care of it here on making sure it gets up on the screen. But yeah, I completely agree with you as far as there's going to be a lot more. Like the concept of crypto gaming has been proven. We know now that it exists. It works. It might be, you know, it might be in its infancy, but we know that it's here and it's here to stay.
That's right.
So we're going to see over time more and more people, as far as game developers, big studios from, you know, legacy Web 2 are going to try to hop in and find their place in this new ecosystem. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here, because. Yeah. They're coming in with a huge budget, but they may not be crypto native. You know, a player like you, XWG, you're crypto native, you know, and you, you know, you're really carving out a really impressive piece of the market. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. And especially I have been talking with some of the people from the gaming stock industry, right? And what I feel is fascinating is, you know, I mean, the market is so big, you know, it's not like you have to be like develop a Call of Duty, GTA sort of game in order to succeed. There are still so many mini games that succeed. Just maybe it's not like under our attention or somehow, but if you go explore and talk to those people, it's very fascinating, like how many user base they have. Even if it's just a tiny small game, probably you won't. For me, maybe it's not really playable, but people still do enjoy this kind of game. So I mean, what I'm trying to say is, the market is so big, the pie is so big, right? So we shouldn't be worried about like if there's a like so big studio, AAA publisher coming to the space, so everyone else is gonna die. No, I don't think that's gonna happen. So there's people bringing the best game. There's the people bringing those indie game as well. I mean, for the gamer, they have freedom to choose. They have freedom to select what they want to play. And I think everyone will survive in this crypto gaming like wave. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we have some, the ability to share here pulled up. I'm going to put you center stage. Okay. Right. Take it away.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. So first, you know, before talking about our new upcoming release, I just wanted to show you quickly our current, you know, green card, you know, version one. To give you an idea of what we have right now and what's coming and what the difference
is. There's a big improvement, as I mentioned.
It's going to be. So, yeah. So if you see my screen, you know, right now, green card, you know, 1.0 is pretty much a PvP game, right? It's a 2D PvP game, right? You know, your basic card game, you know, where you play against, you know, other players, you know, they have the cards, you know, or NFTs, you know, and they have skills, you know, obviously. So you battle, you know, one another. And that's our first, you know, release, you know, of Dream Card. And, you know, so this is basically, you know, how it works, you know, very simple, but, you know, players love it. You know, if you love playing, you know, card games, you know, strategy games, you know, this is definitely for you. And just to show you kind of like the difference, you know, between 1.0 and 2.0, I want to pivot, you know, really quickly and talk about, you know, our community focus, right? You know, so recently we started, you know, a DAO to get a DAO vote, you know, because we listen to our community, right? You know, we wanted to ask, okay, do you want, you know, Dream Card 2.0 or Dream Card, you know, version 2? And as you can see by the votes, right, you know, the vast majority of people in our community, they want, you know, Dream Card, you know, to be called, you know, version 2. And to clarify, the new version, version 2, is also going to keep running with the old version, version 1. Version 1, as I explained, you know, is a PvP game. Version 2 is going to be a PvE game. So version 2 is pretty much, you know, so the same heroes and NFTs, you know, you have in version 1, you can transfer them to version 2 as well. So unlike version 1, that is a completely 2D game, in version 2, you have a 3D game where you have the same NFTs that you've already acquired. So you don't have to worry about getting new NFTs. And as you can see, the all the NFTs, you know, it's a blockchain game, right? So you have to approve, you know, the contract and transfer all those NFTs, you know, to play. So with our Web3 integration, you know, it's completely different from your traditional game, you know, where you don't own any of the NFTs or, you don't own any of the characters, right? You know, but with this, you know, you absolutely own, you know, all your NFTs and you can play with them. So just showing you quickly some of the heroes, you know, you'll have in our version 2 install. And now I'll show you an example of a PvE battle that you'll see in version 2. So in version 2, players, you know, will buy a ticket and access, you know, a stage, you know, depending on what they want to play. So once you get into that stage, you know, you'll have an option to select a hero of your choice. Again, those heroes are all NFTs that the player owns. So you can transfer your NFTs from 1.0 And it goes back to what Edwin, you know, touched base on. Our vision, you know, is to have to make use of all those characters, you know, NFTs from different platforms or different games, even right in the future, so they can be used, you know, in our game. So version two is an RPG type of game. So these are, you see the characters, you know, in battle. So this one's going to be really short since my characters are really OP. So that was really quick, you know, but that's just kind of to give you a look of what it's going to be like. So once you end, you know, a battle, you know, you will also earn. So that's an important point to touch on right now. Okay, I'm a gamer. I only focus on the gaming aspect, you know, but you also have to understand that we're servicing, you know, a financial aspect of our community, people who invest a lot of money. We definitely appreciate them. So, yeah, there is definitely an earning aspect, you know, to the game. In 2.0, there's going to be version 2, sorry. In version 2, there's going to be a lottery aspect, right, you know. So right now in our first version of Dream Card, you know, when you play, you can earn, you know, something at the end of the game, right? But that can be very limited, you know, depending on who you ask, right, you know. But we're definitely revamping, you know, our earning mechanism, our earning, you know, logic with version 2 to enable players, you know, to earn even more. So after you clear, you know, a stage in version 2, you have the option to get a lottery package, right? So that lottery package, you know, can give you more XWG that you can spend, you know, or hold, you know, however you want, you know, to go about it. So I just want to give you guys, you know, a quick look, you know, about how our second, you know, version of Dream Card, you know, is going to run in concurrency with the first one. So first one is PvP mainly. And our second one is going to be PvE, you know, for those people who love the adventure, you know, of the role playing games, basically.
Love it. Love it. And I appreciate you guys showing that on the show and dropping some alpha there. That was, that's really exciting. Those graphics look really, really good.
We are excited as well.
That's going to be great. Yeah. So, yeah, guys, we're getting close to time here. I really do appreciate, you guys coming on the show. I just kind of want to open the floor to you guys and really just invite you to share, you know, just share more thoughts about the metaverse and, like, you know, what are we really doing this for? You know, what are we, what sort of future, you know, are you guys really excited to see just kind of at a conceptual macro level? And yeah, just, I know you touched a little bit about crypto gaming specifically, but maybe we could talk on the greater metaverse and wrap it up that way.
Yeah, I think right now for the metaverse, right? So I think there's actually two categories. So on the one side, like the founder from the NVIDIA, AMD, even Meta, right? What they're trying to suggest is, we can simulate the reality into the metaverse. So what they're trying to do is, if we want to construct a bridge, right, some infrastructures, we can simulate the everything into the metaverse at first and to test if it's running properly. So the company, the corporate, they can save a lot, like billions of billions, the cost of it. And even like from Meta, right? What Mark Zuckerberg is trying to do is he wants to simulate the working environment, right? So people no longer need to like take bus to the work, drive to the work. They can they don't need to fly over to the Asia to meet their clients. So that's one side. I think it's just simulation of the reality. And I think that's great, right? But on the other side, I think that's from Disney, from the gaming, Roblox, what they're trying to build is a metaverse of a creation of the imagination. So people can create anything, like the NFT, anything, games, or any tour drawings, you know. So I think on that side is more like an inspiration for people, for the creators. So right now, so for the metaverse, I think it's more inclusive. So it's gonna be on the both side. So it also reflect to like our human lives, right? You got to have work on one side, but you also have to have a leisure on the other side. So you have to combine these two, so in order to have a complete life. So I think Metaverse eventually will go by these two approaches. And also, I think it can really do a lot of things, you know, just like, for example, if we have the some people, right? I think what's best to say is it can eliminate the language barrier. Just like for me, right? English is not my native language. And we see so many like awesome people in Asia, they just don't speak English, but doesn't mean they are not creative, doesn't mean they are not, you know, they are not good. But sometimes it's just because the language, so it will maybe give them maybe lower performance on somehow. But let's say in the metaverse, right? You can pretty much, even if I'm speaking English, but on the other hand, maybe they can hear is the Chinese or, you know, Spanish, any other language. So I think that's totally something they can do, right? So I think for the metaverse, the other thing is also they eliminate the distance language barrier between people. So they actually connect the people in another level. Yeah, if you get what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, I feel like that's going to be one of the great services that are built in the metaverse. That's a project right there, multi-billion dollar project, like, almost like an auto translator.
That's right. Because I know right now in the physical, you already can do it with your phone with the Google Translate, right? But if you can have immediate response of the other language.
Automatic. And,
yeah, automatic. Yeah, that's something. I think that's also, that's just one idea, right? So imagine how many ideas it can be in the metaverse. So I think it really gonna like bring the people in the world, like global, to a closer place. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. I love it. So, hey, I just want to, again, you know, I want to make sure we touch on a couple questions here. Guys and girls, and any robots or anything out there, throw your questions in now. We're going to save it just a couple minutes here. We're getting very close to the hour. So we do have one question while we're waiting for a couple to come in. There'll be a little bit of a delay. It seems like they're asking about the ability to use XWG to purchase land and new assets or monsters, cards, etc. Maybe you could talk about your vision for XWG itself and the utility that it's going to have moving forward.
Oh, yeah, well, I can go ahead and touch base on that. So I think what Titus was asking specifically was to be sure whether or not, you know, the XWG token or the BNB token will be used, you know, to buy the asset. So it's going to be similar to what we have now. They're going to come by mystery boxes, you know, the land and the new assets. They're going to come by mystery boxes as we have, you know, NFTs right now. But then, you know, after you acquire them, you can sell them on the marketplace, you know, with for XWG or, you know, for BNB. So if you want. And I think that was the question he was asking. So yeah, they're going to come by mystery boxes, but then you can acquire them and sell them later with XWG if you want.
Awesome. All right, everybody, this is your last chance, your very, very last chance to ask questions. Now is your time. Speak now, type now, or forever not get your questions answered. Now's the time. But just in the meantime, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, for showing showing us what it really looks like when you persevere over a matter of close to 4 years now, from 2018 to 2022, the amazing things that you can accomplish. So I really appreciate it. Looks like we have one more question about community translation. I think you guys can see those comments. So maybe take a peek at that. Basically, will the team bring us tools to make mods and allow community translation to other languages?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we're currently in the process of working on those tools. But yes, it is definitely coming. So just to keep it short. Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. Everybody watching and listening, thank you all. See y'all in the metaverse. See y'all in the XWG ecosystem. And see y'all in the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Take care. Bye. Bye.